privileged to speak this morning for just a few moments on the thought of why do I need revival? We always find it easy to know that someone else needs revival, and we're even willing to tell them that, you know. But sometimes we have to take a look at ourselves, not sometimes, we always ought to take a look at ourselves and say, why do I need revival? Because let me assure you of something, we all do. Psalm 138, if you would, Psalm 138, I believe it's the perfect psalm for people like you and I and churches like ours. Notice with me Psalm 138 and beginning to read in verse 1. There the Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's ask God to bless. Father, as we study your word this morning, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this great church. Lord, we now pray that you would use this time, speak to us. Lord, we confess to you that we need the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and reveal truth to us today. I ask you to work in every heart, in Jesus' name, amen. This is a Psalm of David. It's a part of a group of eight psalms. And to be honest with you, most of these psalms, the eight starting with 138, are psalms of high praise. They are great praise. They're psalms of worship. Most commentators will tell you that Psalm 138 and the eight psalms that form this group were written about the time that equates to 2 Samuel chapter 7 when God spoke to David. David had a desire to build a temple, to build a house for God in Jerusalem that would house the ark. And he had a sincere desire to do it. Of course, we know that God did not choose for him to do that, but gave that responsibility to his son Solomon. But in speaking to David about that, God said to David, listen, I'm not going to allow you to build the house. Your seed will build the house. Your son will build the house. But I want to make you a promise, David. And the promise that God made to David was that someone of his line, his seed, would reign in perpetuity. Now, of course, we know that prophetically that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what an incredible moment for David to know that God was going to so bless his life, so use his life, so honor his life, that one of his seed would sit on this throne, as we said, in perpetuity. And so he breaks out in praise, wouldn't you, if God was blessing you that way? Oh, by the way, God has blessed you that way. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know what? You're saved for perpetuity. God's going to keep you. I wouldn't, but God's going to keep you, okay? And he says, look what he says in verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. God's going to see me through to a finished product. And it ought to make us break out in praise just like it did David. But I want you to notice a contrast. in this life of praise, in this life of security, in this life where God is going to perfect that which concerns us, God loves us and he's going to keep us. Look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. In this great life that we live, in this assurance that we enjoy, please understand that in our lives as believers, just like in David's life as a child of God, there are going to be days and times and lots of them when we walk in the midst of trouble. When life is going to get narrow, when life is going to get hard, when life is going to get stressful. And understand that in those times, our great enemy has a purpose. He wants to discourage us, he wants to distract us, and ultimately he wants to defeat us. And David says, in those times, I know the broad scope of my life is that you're going to bless me, Lord, and use me and perfect me in the things that concern me. But in those times when I get distracted and discouraged and defeated, God, a great promise is, you can revive me. Thou wilt revive me. Here, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the congregation of Lancaster Baptist Church. This is a great church and a great people. And I know that you serve the Lord, and I know that you love the Lord. But can I suggest to you, so did David? And can I suggest to you that if into the life of David there were times when he needed to be revived, that even the members of Lancaster Baptist Church and even men like Michael Edwards, we need to be revived. And I want to suggest to you this morning three areas that might reveal to us why do I need to be revived. Notice them with me. Number one, why do I need revival? Because I'm hungry and thirsty and I want to continue to grow in the Lord. Because I'm hungry and thirsty, and I want to continue to grow in the Lord. David realized that there was no day and no season in his life where he could allow spiritual apathy to seize his heart. He had some great days and saw some great victories. You have seen some great victories and had great blessing and great days. But you and I need to be careful that on our best day, on the greatest day, when we've seen the greatest victory, we need God tomorrow. And we need to grow tomorrow. And we need to keep a passion and a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness of God as it's revealed in His Word and then excelled or lived out through our lives. We have three children and my wife's a great cook, can you tell? She's a great cook, and when she was raising our children, she was always focused on what's good for them, what do they need, what can I make for them. And every day of every week, she would labor and make an appropriate meal, and then the next day she'd labor and make an appropriate meal, and on, you get the point. I never remember the day where she said to me, you know, I have fed those three kids 2 days in a row, and I think I'm going to close the kitchen. And when they are absolutely emaciated and starving, I might cook them a little something else. No, it was her focus every day to make sure that they were fed. And they were passionate about getting to the table and eating, by the way. You may be on fire for God. There may be no great sin or trial in your right life right now. But just like a growing child, you and I always need another meal to grow. We need to be focused on getting into our spiritual lives what we need to grow. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God pronounces a blessing on being hungry and thirsty to know more of Him. I think of the Apostle Paul. He was a man who lived in a constant state of seeking revival. For the sake of time, I won't have you turn there, but let me read a passage to you. Philippians chapter 3 expresses his heart. that I may know him, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Did you know that for as many victories as Paul had in his life, it never occurred to him, I've apprehended, I've attained, I've made it. There's nothing else I can know. No other way I need to grow. There's nothing else I need to add to my spiritual life. Hey, he's the guy that got stoned outside the gates of Lystra, was left for dead, and got up. That's a pretty heavy spiritual day, wouldn't you say? And when he got up after being stoned and left for dead, he said, I wonder what God's got for me tomorrow. Hoping it wasn't another stoning, no doubt. My point is, he was always focused on what he needed, not what he'd done, what he needed, not what he had, what he needed. And he made a passionate pursuit in his life to pursue, to pursue, to pursue. He was constantly hungering and thirsting to know more of the Lord, to be made conformable to the Lord, to grow in the Lord. May I ask you this morning, do you have that passion in your life? Can you say like Paul, I focus on one thing, I'm passionate, I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Can you say this in your life? You know, preacher, here's the truth. There was a time in my life when I was a little hungrier and a little more thirsty for the things of God. You, my friend, and I need revival. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because we don't want to stay like we are. We want to grow and grow and grow. Here's number two. Why do I need revival? Because I'm weary and worn, and I need refreshed. Paul tells us something we need to remember in Galatians 6. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know that serving the Lord and serving people by serving the Lord can be a wearying thing. It can wear on us. I used to ride a bike. I no longer ride a bike. I used to ride a mountain bike, and we used to live near the Quantico Marine Preserve, it's just hundreds of thousands of open acres, and we could just ride through there, and it was a great time. I lived west of the Quantico Preserve, so I rode east going, and where I live, there's always a prevailing west wind. In other words, the wind comes out of the west. When you're riding east with the wind at your back, you are a mountain man, my friend. I mean, you are awesome, and I would pedal that bike, and I would think to myself, wow, I'm a rough and tough guy. And then I'd get tired riding east, and I thought, well, I better go home. I'd turn around and wide ride west. And my first thought was, oh, I am a wimp. Riding into that wind, what was helping you go when you had to go into it, just wore you out. Now listen to me. The life of a believer in this world is like walking into the wind. It can wear you out. According to Galatians chapter 6, we're supposed to be all about restoring fallen brethren. Pretty difficult thing to watch brethren fall and to always be concerned about them and always reaching out to them. We are to bear one another's burdens. Hey, there's days that I feel like I can't bear my burdens, but God says I'm to bear one another's burdens, someone else's burdens. I'm to remain humble in a world of pride, trusting God to promote me or promote us and not promote ourselves. He calls it the work of the ministry. I equate it today to working on a bus route, working in the junior church, working in the nursery, working in a Sunday school. I'm just saying at a church like Lancaster Baptist Church, places and times and opportunities to work are endless. God speaks to us and he says, do not get weary in well-doing. Do not get weary in well-doing. And the devil speaks into our ear and he says, you do so much. He says, you work 40 to 50 hours a week and you commute several hours a day and you got all the responsibilities at home and you're trying to be a dad, and then you've got to go down to that church and they want you to do this and they want you to do that. And the devil whispers into our ear, you can't keep doing that. You've got to back up from that. You need rest. Now, I want you to understand there are times in our lives where physically our bodies need rest, our minds need rest. But I want you to know the devil whispers that into our ear way more than is actually needed. Very quickly, I want you to turn with me. Keep your place there, but turn over with me to Mark chapter 6 quickly. Mark chapter 6 quickly. And I absolutely love what the Lord does here. And I'll just read through it and make a few comments as I go. Mark chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 31. Notice this. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You know what's happening here? The disciples are exhausted. They have been traveling with Jesus. They have been working with Jesus. They have been doing all the things that had to be done to sustain life. Wasn't easy to do what they were doing in this time. Jesus looking at them, and they evidently are communicating it to themselves, maybe to him, hey, we're tired. When do we get a break? And so Jesus says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Oh, finally a break. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. Oh boy. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past, send them away. I want you to notice that Jesus' reaction to the need was, let's minister to them, they need help. The reaction of the disciples was, send them away. I can see the devil whispering into their ears, hey, this is about your time of rest. Hey, this is about you. Hey, don't you think Jesus has pushed you far enough? Don't you think you've done enough? Don't you think you've been down there enough? Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples, set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. Now I have to read the notes between verse 44 and verse 45, and here's what it says. And all the disciples were grumbling because they had to be part of a miracle like that when they really wanted to rest. Anybody believe that's what took place? I think they rejoiced. I think they were as refreshed as they had ever been. I think it was better than a trip to Disney World. I think they said to themselves, thank the Lord. The Lord really knew what we needed. We didn't need recreation. We needed revival. And God sent revival in that place. And they saw 5,000 fed. And they had walked into it like this, send them away, Jesus. And they walked out of it saying, man, we've been part of something. They had a spring in their step because God provided what they needed, revival, not recreation. If you're weary, the devil will whisper to you, you do too much. You'll become critical of all that has to be done. But if you'll let God work in your heart, he'll show you a revived ministry, a revived work that will give you refreshment. Here's number three very quickly. Why do I need revival? Because I'm distant and cold and I need to come home. I won't have you turn there for the sake of time, but in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David finds himself in a very bad place. Listen as I read it. Verse 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." For 16 months, when we read in 1 Samuel 30, David, who was going to be the king of Israel, who was the man after God's own heart, whom God gave great promises of his seed sitting on the throne in perpetuity. For 16 months, this great man has been living in Ziklag, a city of the Philistines. Can I ask you what the king of Israel, the future king of Israel, is doing sitting in Ziklag, the land of the Philistines? I don't understand it. But sometimes, like David, you and I can get our lives off track. We can think wrong. We can have a wrong spirit in our heart. We can speak wrong. We can look at things wrong. And we who are children of God, who know better, who have seen miraculous things, we can sit where we ought not to sit. And boy, when we do that, and when we find ourselves distant and cold from God, we need revival. That day, his men were about to stone him, and David sat down and encouraged himself. I want you to know it took some things. He had to face the truth about his wrong choices. Sometimes we just have to be brutally honest with ourselves and say, you know what, I just chose wrong. I thought wrong. I spoke wrong. I just did that wrong. And the way to correct what we do wrong is to acknowledge it. To acknowledge it to the Lord and to ourselves and begin to correct it. Not only that, but he had to humble himself and ask God for help. He had to make some things right, but oh my goodness, was it good when he got out of Ziklag and returned to Jerusalem. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And the first step is when we say to ourselves, I go to Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Paul Chapel is my pastor. I have this title. I work in this ministry. I give this amount. But in that life where I am blessed, sometimes I live in the midst of trouble. And here's the truth. The devil whispers in my ear, and sometimes I get discouraged. And sometimes I get a little distant and distracted. Sometimes I think wrong and I say things wrong to myself. I speak to myself wrong. And the ultimate goal of my enemy is that he wants to defeat my joy in serving. He wants to defeat me in what I want, what God wants me to be doing and involved in and seeing victory in. And you know what? That's going to stop here. Because I need revival. I'm not as passionate about the Word of God as I used to be. I'm not as passionate about the things of God as I used to be. But you know what? I want to ask the Lord to make me hungry and thirsty for righteousness again. And you know what? I am a little bit weary. Sometimes I self-talk to myself and I say, man, you do a lot. And I think that I ought to pull back, lighten up, let go a little. But you know what? When God saw a crowd and when God saw the need, he got involved and did more for them. I don't want my attitude to be send it away, drop it, do a little bit less. I want to see the victory of God using my service. You know, sometimes I get distant and cold. I get a little tired, I get a little critical, and I get distant and I get cold. That's who needs revival. You know why I preach this message to Lancaster Baptist Church? Actually, what I did was I preached it to Michael Edwards, and I just allow you to listen in. Because sometimes I get distracted and my passion for righteousness wanes. Sometimes I get a little discouraged and I get weary and worn, and I think maybe I just need to do a little less. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I get my eyes on what somebody else is doing, or I get my heart hurt because I'm not appreciated in what I'm doing, and before very long I can get critical and I can get distant and I can get cold. I want you to know I love God and I've served God a long time and I want to continue to serve God, and sometimes I just have to say to myself, hey, moron, stop it. Stop it. Here and now, Edwards, you get right with God. And you get back on pursuing and being hungering and thirsty for righteousness. And you get busy and you stop being weary and worn, because there's a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes out there that God can work. And you stop thinking like you're thinking. You're distant. You're cold. You get back to where you need to be. Nobody wants to realize that about ourselves, theirselves. And I want you to understand that only you can make that choice in your life. And my prayer for you this morning is, if you see yourself in there, was there a time I was more hungry and more thirsty? Am I weary and worn, and sometimes I think about letting up? Have I grown distant and cold because I've gotten a little bit critical about some things? Right here, right now, just like David, you need to sit on that stump in your Ziklag and say, no more. It comes to an end right now. God, I want you to revive me in the midst of this trouble so that I can get back to praising and worshiping and serving you like I know will please you.